word in season for all of us. You know, there's so many reasons for anxiety to get a hold of us. You just got to pick up a newspaper, which is probably the most dangerous thing to do on a Sunday. I think stick with your Bible, leave the newspaper for someone else. There's lots of reasons for anxiety to come on us. Anxiety is founded and rooted in fear. And fear is the dark room where your negatives get developed. Faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is a gift from God. It's knowing that in spite of what's going on around you, you have someone who loves you intensely and who's intensely good. And that's what your faith is rooted and established in. So that's why we need more word input and less worldly media input. Because worldly media input is designed for sensationalism. That's how it sells. Newspapers don't sell with a headline of boy comes home and gives mommy a flower. It's more like boy comes home and shoots mommy. You know? And if you get too much of that stuff in you, it's the breeding ground for anxiety. It's for anxiety. So thanks, James. That is really a timely word. And I think it's not one you want to just rush on from. But you want it to soak into you. Because you're going to walk out here this morning and there's going to be a cause for concern. There's going to be something or someone. So thanks for the great prophetic encouragement, Steve. I really needed that. Now what you needed was the word of faith that says, do not be anxious for anything but in all things. I like the box. All things means anything that can fit in the box, okay? You can chuck it in there, close it, and say, Jesus, I've just sent it for your delivery. I got a phone call from Jimmy Duguid on Friday. Knock, knock. Jimmy. Oh, it didn't take you oaks long to forget him, eh? Oh, sorry, I just had to do that. I get a phone call on Friday. He's very anxious because his suitcases were all at the right weight to get a Joburg. Somehow the Durban to Joburg flight worked, but from there was a problem. So they were a little anxious. But anyway, I got an email from him this morning. Well, it's Sunday afternoon and I just woke up. They got their time yesterday, Saturday. Jet lag has just kicked in and the family was properly broken after that trip. Cale had about 3 to 4 hours sleep in 2 days. So we did not make it through to GGC this morning, but hope so will next week. Glorious Gospel Church, that's the name of the church. Conan and Nikki, that's their friends over there who were in this church, have made us feel right at home. We have not stopped chatting about what we need to do, where we need to go, life in the church, etc. There is so much we need to take in and get busy with, but we knew that that was going to happen. We should get a phone in the next few days so we'll be able to chat over some details. If we miss the service here, we can always catch the service back home. But while us being ahead of you, we can always tell you how your day is going to turn out. Please send our love to the family and the church. We have more to feedback in a few weeks' time. Great stuff. Also, I got a phone call from Terry Akel this morning. About 60, 70 folk that have gone away for the Holy Spirit weekend. And he phoned me very excited this morning. They've had about a dozen commitments to Christ over the weekend. Praise God, praise God. This is church happening now, amen? They've had about 12 folk that came up, gave their lives to the Lord, and two or three of them, he said a couple, had deliverance, quite profound manifestations that needed prayer and deliverance. And everyone's eyes like were wide open at this, and it was just an amazing time. And then they found out that about 10 of the folk haven't been baptized, well, those excluding those who gave their lives to the Lord, about another 10, so it's about 20 in all, that haven't been baptized in water. So they're going to be baptizing them in water after breakfast today. And a whole bunch of people spoke in tongues for the first time last night. They had a time of worship. They prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says it felt like the day of Pentecost. People got filled and were speaking in tongues and singing in tongues. I thought, I wasn't sure which church meeting to go to this morning. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that why God built this church? He said, I will build my church. And the reason why He's built His church is so through the church, He can show to the world how good He is. In fact, there's a scripture just like that. Ash, maybe you want to just jump to it. I'm not going to preach. It's not fair you get two for the price of one this morning. Colossians 1 verse 27, Ash. But just thinking about what church exists for. People getting saved. People getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. People being baptized in water. People breaking in to the kingdom. You see, this is showing the world that God is good. That's why this church exists. Why is there a building at 10 Harvey Road? And so the church can meet there and give the world an opportunity to know that God is good. And how do we do that? Well, we preach and teach on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a message on grace coming out of James. Although it was about anxiety, it was a message rooted and established in God's goodness, God's mercy, God's righteousness. Not your ability and performance to make God do something that He doesn't want to do. But in God's willingness to do it, and our part is faith to take hold of what God already wants to do. You say, Steve, but weren't you always preaching Jesus before we got into an understanding about grace? Yes, I was. I was preaching about Jesus. But most of the time I was just lifting Him up as a good example to follow. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is not lifting up Jesus as a good example to follow. Because you cannot follow His example in your own ability. But grace of the gospel is there to show you what He did for you. What He accomplished for you. And now, Christ, the hope of glory, comes and lives inside of you and me. You see, this is what we preach and teach. That's why in Colossians 1 verse 27, it says, to them God has made known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how we show God's goodness. We preach and teach Christ, the hope of glory. He goes on in the next verse and he says, we proclaim Him. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Who do we proclaim and preach? The hope of glory, Christ. This is the message of grace. We don't teach about what He did and how you got to try and be good like Him. That's a moralistic teaching. We teach Christ's grace achieved everything. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all righteousness so that only as He comes and indwells the believer is the believer perceived by God Almighty as having the same righteousness as Jesus had when He was on earth. That is grace. Because you could never have earned that. You could never have deserved that. Now we all want to see good behavior as a result of that. It would be weird if there wasn't good behavior following that. But it's not good behavior that get God's favor. It's God's favor that got you into right standing with Him so that you could be filled with Christ and then your behavior gets to change. That's what we preach. That's what we admonish. Him. It's about Him. So this is what we preach. This is what this church exists for. Grace and glory. How do we show the world how good God is? Firstly, preaching and teaching everyone about His grace. Secondly, we want to bring everyone to perfection in Christ. Verse 28, Paul says, I labor at this. To this I strenuously contend. In verse 29-ish of the same chapter. To this end I labor, struggling. You see, there is a struggling. There is a laboring. But it's with His energy, which is so mightily working within us. See, that's the difference. Because I am living out of His accomplishment doesn't make me lazy. I don't sit on my blessed assurance now and say, well, Jesus has done it all. That means I just wait till I go to heaven. No, Paul says, I labor. Say labor. Labor is laborious. It's labor intensive. It's struggling. There's a struggle in that. There's an effort. But it's with His energy. Thank you, Father, for sending Your Holy Spirit to live inside of us so that we can live the impossible life. We can live the life that we could never have lived. We can do what we could never have done. We can be used by You to achieve what You want. Strengthened by a different power. The power of the Holy Spirit. I got so excited when Terry shared to me that people were baptized in the Holy Spirit last night, speaking in other tongues, prophesying. I get so excited about that because if we just present a gospel that's powerless, then we are presenting a moralistic message for people to go out and try harder. And you can preach that message in any synagogue. I can get up and read about David in any synagogue on a Sunday and tell you what a good man he was. And if you want to be a good man, do these five things. And everyone goes, yes, yes, I must go try harder. All I've done is preached a moralistic synagogue message. And you can preach that in any church. But when you preach David and say, it's not you that must try and be like David. It's Jesus who was like David. And now Jesus fulfilled the perfect David life so that you could die and be filled with Jesus so that you can now live a life that pleases God. That's a whole different, but that needs the working of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the glory. So how do we as a church show how good He is? We preach, admonish, teach Jesus and His grace. Thirdly, we need the glory. We need the glory. We're praying before this meeting this morning, the worship leaders, and by the way, anyone, please feel free to come join us at any time when we do that. It's not a closed meeting, but we're just committing our minds. And I looked at these pictures on the back of the wall here. I know some of you have been looking at them thinking, what are those? Why don't we have little Mary and a sheep and a Joseph and a... Well, I kind of maybe once thought it was like water, you know, because the Bible talks about water, you know, the water of life and rain down. Oh, you know, I mean, it's all kinds of... While we're praying this morning, I just saw, but hang on, yellow is the color of oil. Yellow is the color of oil. God is visiting this house with anointing oil. There's anointing oil. There's fresh oil. There's fresh oil that's flowing in this house. I tell you what, if your wood wasn't made dry during the worship this morning, then I don't know what is going to dry your wood. Because that was just an awesome time of praise. You see, when we praise like that, something comes off. When we praise like that, it's not for us. We're worshiping Him. But He just lets us partner with Him. Because while we're telling Him how wonderful He is and how great He is, a whole lot of stuff comes off us. That's the anointing. The anointing takes the yoke off. The anointing breaks the yoke and lifts the burden. That's why we worship. We need the glory of God. If we just had... Teaching on grace, we could become too cerebral. And we'll have all our doctrines right, and we can see Jesus in the whole Bible, which we should, because the whole Bible's about Jesus, Genesis to Revelations. But we better be pouring the oil out. Or rather than saying pour the oil out, we better be saturating ourselves under the pouring of the oil. Because yes, the anointing is in you, but there's a corporate sense in which the anointing comes upon us. You see, this is why this church exists. We want God's goodness to be shown to our whole world. And we do that by proclaiming this wonderful message of what Jesus did. Jesus, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Kings, Samuel, Chronicles, Psalms, Proverbs, prophets, minor prophets, major prophets, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Corinthians. It's about Jesus. We proclaim Him. We proclaim Him. We proclaim Him. It's all about Him. It's all about what He's achieved. It's not lifting Him up as some moral example that we in our weakness are going to try and emulate. It's about seeing Him in His power and His glory. And then it's saying, God, we need glory. We need glory. We need glory. I said to Janice yesterday, grace and glory. Sounds a little cliche-ish now. You know, if we keep on, you know, grace and glory, it sounds like, oh, you're talking about the conference. No, I'm talking about the message that this church is called to proclaim in order for the world to see how good He is. Grace and then lots of oil being poured in. Lots of glory. Lots of glory. Let me tell you, if you haven't diarized the weekend when Joshua Mills is here, cancel all your other plans. Listen to me now. That weekend away with my family caravanning. Yes, cancel it. Oh, you mean Auntie Matilda's coming down from Joburg for her 97th birthday and all the family? Yeah, cancel that as well. Bring Auntie Matilda along on the weekend. Oh, Pastor, but you're being very prescriptive here this morning. Yes, I am. Cancel what you're doing and make sure you're here that weekend. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Is that okay, James? Okay. He's not going to miss it. From time to time, I do hear people say, so what's the vision of Highway? What's Highway all about? It's very simple. What does our world need to know more than anything else? How good God is. And how are we going to do that? We're going to preach the gospel of grace in everything we do. And we're going to say, pour out, God, pour out. And where's that going to happen? Where are we called to do that? What's our world? Let's get definitive now. This bunch of young people you saw this morning, that's our world. I had a laugh this morning. My grandson lifts up the whole bowl of Joshua, is my dog's food, and poured it out. Ran pellet all over the garage. So now I'm rushing to get a church and I'm scooping it up. So he wants to help me. But as fast as I'm scooping it in, he's scooping it out. But being a grandfather that I am, I got gentle on him, and unlike my own kids, I would have chased out the garage. I said, are you helping me? That's so sweet. And I felt like the Lord say, that's what you like most of the time. I'm building my church and you think you're helping me. And all you're doing is probably, you know, I'm just being nice to you by saying, oh my boy, you're doing such a good job. Meanwhile, I could do a better job without you, but I chose to let you work with me because I'm looking for a relationship. And where do you build relationship? On your knees, scooping into a dog's bowl with your grandson, him thinking he's helping you, you telling him he's helping you while he's learning. Because, I mean, what's the point if you do it all right yourself and you've got no relationship? You see, you need the church. Church needs you, but you need the church. And these young people over here need us. And the youth on a Friday night, that's our world. And making disciples of people. I'm going to give you a little snippet, just a quick one, because I've got about a minute or two that I want to keep to time, because I can. I know many of you enjoyed the Andrew Womack teachings that Sean was doing a year ago. Sean just got very busy with what he got called to Africa, doing crusades and Bible college. So he's gone more than he's here. There's no reality to him being local. And that's great. That's what he came for. But we're going to be doing those teachings by Andrew Womack in the home cells this next year. And the reason we're doing it is not just to fill an evening, but it's to disciple, to make disciples, because the material in there is outstanding. And we're going to be using that to, as part of a disciple, because we've got to take seriously to make disciples. And then what other area of our world do we affect? Well, it's your world. Your workplace, your neighborhood, your friends, your family, Auntie Matilda that comes down from Pretoria that's going to join you at Joshua Mills' conference. That's why we need on a Sunday, we put this time aside to worship and to get with God's people. And then finally, our world involves those that are on the Alpha weekend, this weekend. And those, when we go teams into Gazankulu and take teams into Mozambique and teams into Kenya. Did I see Anne Brain? You know, she is. Is Bill still away? Okay, Bill's in Central Africa. I couldn't pronounce that, so I just said Central Africa. You see, that's the world that this church has called to impact. It's the children, it's the young people, it's making disciples, it's coming, our gathering together, and it's going to take this good news and the grace and the glory wherever God leads us. Whether it's an Alpha reaching unsaved people, whether it's a team into a rural area, whether it's going somewhere else. That's what this church has been called to do. So those are the three things I want to say here this morning was the reason why this church exists, firstly. Secondly, where those five areas this church do those things. And then lastly, what has God called you? Which part of the message of this local church are you? There's people that make our corporate time happen. There are people that make that next door happen. There are people away this weekend who've sacrificed a weekend to be with people, to serve them. I know many of you serve the home groups by bringing meal, at least the Alpha group, by bringing meals and putting a Monday night aside to be here. You see, we all share in the spoils because we were all at the battle line. We were all bringing commitment and bringing sacrifice, and part of that is enjoying the results. And that's why we got excited when we hear people getting saved and people getting filled with the Spirit and people being baptized. Can you see? So this is the kind of talk you have at the beginning of a year when everyone's well rested and before they go into December. But I phoned James yesterday and said, I just got to let a little bit of this out. Because I don't want to wait till the new year. I want to say to you now, if God has put you in this house, there's a reason He did. Tell the person next to you, there's a reason you're here. And have you visiting? That's different. There's some visitors and that's great. But you know if God has planted you in this house. If you're not sure, then come along next Sunday morning. We'll tell you what this house is about next door at the house. But to the rest of us, if God has put us in this house, that's what we do. That's why the church exists. That's how we do it. And now, where in that is your part? Where in that is your part? Because there's something in there that God put you in this church for. Amen? Let's stand up together. Now, please don't be anxious about this, what I shared with you this morning. And James did say, Steve, why don't you do the whole service? I said, it's my last week of leave. Please don't do that to me. But I do feel I know this is a more practical thing I'm sharing this morning, but I do feel we're at an important crossroads in the life of this church. I believe the transition we've come through has been amazing. It's had its tears. You know, the mother's body gets stretched out of proportion when she's about to give birth, and it's a painful exercise, and there's consequences of that to her body. And I think a church, when it goes through transition, there are changes. We in many ways a new congregation, and in many ways, not just doctrinally, but even in the faces we see. And I'm saying to you this morning, please listen, hear this. This church got to where it is now because of the faithfulness, commitment, and availability of those who went before. This church is going to get to where it's going when people here say, you can count on me. Not me counting you, him counting you. It's not my church. It's not my church. I can leave. I can walk away. It's his church. Do you know that God is letting you partner on your knees in the garage while he makes you think you're being so helpful, because he wants the world to know how good he is. So Father, we do. We just come and acknowledge again, Jesus, your words, you will build the church. You will build the church. And you let us think we're so important. But actually, you just love the fellowship you have with us. You just love being able to show us grace and show us glory. And show us more grace and show us more glory. So that the world can see that out of a group of people who didn't deserve it, they got it. Because God is so good. Jesus, I pray, build your church. For this next season we're going to, even as we go into a little bit of a rest period next month and things quieten down, I pray that this church will not get into an apathy, but that we will power into the things that you have purposed and you have called us to. We unite our hearts with those who got saved and baptized this weekend, and we say, let them be a first fruits that will come in as a result of the work that this plow has been working into the city. I pray for people standing here that they will know what your purpose is in this local church for their lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for going through two sermons with such big smiles.